Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify's made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. Have you ever wondered if the pain you're carrying isn't fully yours? What if the patterns you struggle with, the fear, the anxiety, even illness, they were passed down through generations? And what if you hold the power to break them? Today, I'm honored to introduce Ina Segal, an internationally acclaimed intuitive healer, speaker, and best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body. So her groundbreaking work has reached people in over 100 countries, helping them unlock the hidden messages within their bodies and free themselves from ancestral and emotional imprints that limit their health and happiness. So Ina's gift is taking the profound and making it practical, guiding us to heal through visualization, color, breath, and deep intuitive connection. In this conversation, we're going to explore how ancestral healing can help us break free from generational wounds and reclaim the vitality, love, and freedom that is our birthright. And Ina's got a podcast series on our channel. And if you have not yet listened to episode one, she talks about the different body parts and how they are actually speaking to us. So you will want to go back and listen to that episode. Come back and listen to this one and listen to that one again. Do whatever it takes, but do not miss any of these episodes. Welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, Lisa. I love the way you've been sharing, and I was like, wow, that's such a, you know, profound way to describe the work. So thank you.
Yeah, sometimes it takes someone on the outside to recognize it, because when we're doing our own work, we don't realize how impactful it is, you know? It's just who we become and who we are. So I think it's important to honor someone for the work that they're doing.
Thank you.
So what first led you to explore ancestral healing? And can you give us a bit of a definition onto what that means?
Yeah, so for me, it was my grandparents, and I realized as I was exploring and delving deeper that everybody in the family had digestive issues, and it would be from teeth to, you know, something in the stomach to intestinal issues, but literally no person in the family has got away with it without having this issue. And I was kind of, including my grandparents. So I was reflecting on this, especially when I was doing my own healing. And I think as I shared earlier, I was able to release my back pain that had still been there for a long period of time, and my psoriasis quite easily. But the digestive issues took quite a while. And there was one particular thing that alerted me to this, where when I was in my early 20s, I had this massive fear that I was carrying around ending up on the street with no house, with no home. And it made no sense, because I actually ended up owning my own home, you know, from, I think I was, I don't know, 19 or something, 18 or 19. And so it was illogical that I had this intense, massive fear. And then one time I was speaking to my cousins, and they started talking about this fear. And I went, oh, it's not just me who has it. And then I realized that both my grandparents had, from from when they were, my grandfather was 14 to 24. He ended up in this camp in Siberia for something he didn't do, which is, like Gulag, this work camp. And my grandmother, she essentially, her mother was actually clairvoyant, which I didn't know for many years. And her mother saw the war coming and said to my grandmother, "You're the only one who's going to survive out of, all the children, and your father will come back from fighting in the war, but it'll just be you and him." So she told my grandmother this when my grandmother was 12. So, there was all this trauma that went on. My great grandmother literally protected my grandmother to help her survive. So she was being shot at while my grandmother was running to, so that she could live. It was, and then my grandmother survived in the forest on her own for 4 years. So this was something that they never talked about. And for about 50 years, I think my grandparents whispered to each other, but never really, nobody knew what they really went through. And so, as I'm the person who digs through everything, I was like, why? I want to know. I want to ask these questions. And why does everybody have these issues? Because I don't want to, like my grandfather ended up with, cancer in his, digestive tract, and my mom and my cousin. It was like, my cousin not with the cancer, but having to have surgery and stuff. And I was like, I want to look into this and understand this, because I was born and I would have issues constantly with my stomach. And so I really had to unwind and understand, like the question you asked, what I was carrying and how we all carry things. We absorb what has not been processed. So when I talk about ancestry, essentially, an ancestral trauma, it's like we have this study called epigenetics. And in epigenetics, they say that you may have a potential to get a similar disease that your mother or father or grandparents or great grandparents had, but you also have the capacity to influence it. And so what I realize is that we recreate the same diseases, which is, it made complete sense to me when I wrote my book, The Secret Language of Your Body, that when I described the issue, the challenge in the book, and what causes somebody to become sick, if we're growing up in a family and we're absorbing, because we are from childhood, whatever, is happening, conscious or unconscious, whether they talk about it or not, we have this etheric body, which is the copy of the physical body. And in the first 7 years of life, as our physical body develops, we're actually in the energy field of the person who's looking after us the most, which for a lot of people is their mother. And we're a sponge, we're absorbing everything. And if we were to, so let's say somebody's mother had whatever disease it is, and if you break it down and you see these are the thought patterns, these are the feelings, these are the actions, these are the behaviors, these are the types of experiences that cause this part of the body to degenerate and this illness to occur. And then you came back and you looked at yourself and you went, how much of this challenge, this issue that has been described, do I have? And I do the same. This is where you start to see these ancestral challenges, because you're carrying it, and sometimes it's unconscious, you don't know, My son said to me at one point several years ago, he said to me, "Mom, it's like I'm going through life and I have this heaviness in my back that I'm carrying, but I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's really old and deep." And so the longer people don't deal with things or don't work on the challenges, the more likely they are to continue, right? To keep going and to get passed on and on and on. And there's certain parts of the body that show us that's a digestive issues from early on in life, eye issues from early on in life, kidney issues, blood. So when these parts of the body show up, it's pretty much there's going to be an ancestral element involved in that particular part of the body. So we do need to break it down. If you don't want to have the same challenge, like I have a student and she, a lot of people in her family, pretty much everybody in her family have had Alzheimer's, and she went, absolutely not. So she's been looking at what kind of behavior causes it, which essentially is a lot of suppressing, pushing things away, not dealing with stuff because it's too much, you can't, it's too traumatic. And she's slowly been dealing with things, but she's also been working on her memory. So she's been doing concentration exercises and focusing and memory exercises so that she doesn't have that. And she's, I think she's turned 64, and she said most of her family members already had this issue in their 60s, so earlier onset. And, I don't think she will. And so we start to, look at this and break it down.
I have a question for you. If your, say I healed a trauma that is ancestral, does that mean that it's removed from everybody? Like when I'm healing myself through the ancestral work, is that also healing my whole entire ancestral chain?
It is, but to the degree that they, it's like we've got to go back a little bit to explain this. So we have, so I feel like we become who we are because our soul, which is individualized and goes through multiple earth lives, but also gets kind of transformed in each new life, meets our ancestry. Now, the reason we have particular parents and ancestors in our lives is because they're the best people for us to work through stuff, grow, learn lessons. And in particular, our issues that are ancestral, so to speak, that show up strongly are the ones that we as a soul resonate with the most. So if there is deep resonance with it, meaning I also have brought this with me, then what you're going to do for that person in your family is you're going to create space and you're going to create a way for them where, which is much lighter, much easier to explore their own challenge. But if the way is or if they don't resonate, like as a soul, they just go like for instance, when I was younger, my dad, drank a lot, smoked a lot, and I looked at this and I went, absolutely not, never, I'm never gonna drink, I hate alcohol, never gonna smoke, never gonna touch anything like this. Whereas my brother looked at it and went, this looks cool, yeah, let's, and so when he was, again younger, he would, he smoked, he drank more, and that was a resonance. Whereas for me, it was like, never am I going to do that. Having said that, when I was 30, I remember having a conversation with my dad, and I always felt like I was having particular particular challenges in my relationships. And I just could not place it. I was like, where do they come from? I don't know anybody in my family who has this. And then, yeah, when I was 30, one day, my dad and I were walking, went for a walk. It was someone's party, and he went, let's go for a walk. I'm going to smoke or something. And we were talking, and for the first time in his life, he shared some stuff with me about his different relationships that he's had. And I was like, oh my God, I've tried not to be like you, because I was like, I don't, you know, I knew he was very sensitive and intuitive, but had an addictive personality. And I was like, I'm going to try not to be like you. And I went, I now get why I'm constantly having this particular challenge in my life. And so, you know, we take on personality traits, we take on all sorts of things that we resonate with, but we don't necessarily resonate with everything, is what I'm saying. And so, as we do the healing work, especially if you do it and you have young children, that has a massive effect. It's harder to, and you can still have an effect, but it's a little bit more challenging once people are older and they've gone through. So around the age of 9 is when you naturally start to go, this is what I resonate with in my family, these behaviors, these ways of feeling, thinking, experiencing life, and this is what I don't resonate with. And in all my studies, what I've realized is that it literally shows up as patterns in your nervous system. So you absorb it, and that's how your nervous system works. And you think, this is how life is, this is, you know, how things are. So the answer that has been very drawn out is both. You can really, really impact, but it also depends on how much they need to work through in their own journey.
So, how does the ancestral pattern show up in the body?
Well, it'll show up in the body based on, firstly, we're all born with some weakness, and people think it's a bad thing, but it's actually a thing for us. Partly to do with previous lifetimes, partly to do with growing, that we need to grow, and we don't know how to grow without some kind of a challenge inside of our body. So I was thinking of an example of something ancestral that can show up. So many, many years ago, I was in the US traveling and promoting my books, and I met this lady. And her son was born with a blood condition. And I already said that blood has, and I think it was leukemia. Blood shows as, you know, this is family. We know, we say that, you know, you're my blood. It's in my blood, right? So we have it in our language. So this boy was born with leukemia. And when I was spending time with his mother and looking at what may have caused it. And there were so many scenarios. For instance, her father was abusive, and he actually incested her. And then she washed it all down and never, you know, didn't talk about it. And there's always a common element of not talking about it, not processing it. Kind of pushing it away, hiding it, pretending that it's okay. And, you know, the more we connected the pieces, and it wasn't about blaming her, it was about understanding, because by understanding it, she went, oh my God, I have the power to do something to help my son, which she did. And he became much, much better. You know, the healing was incredible for both of them. Because as there was a lot that was happening when she was pregnant with him as well. So he was this sponge absorbing. Sometimes, you know, this absorption, we even see it with animals, where, you know, the animal will absorb whatever the person who is looking after them again is going through, and show it. So it's almost like ancestral, what we pick up is energetic, and it'll show up in the body. And obviously that there is that you have the capacity to experience anything that your parents or grandparents haven't dealt with. But when you start to look at it and go, one of the exercises that I talk about as step one is separation. Right? You need to, firstly, you would need to maybe start by acknowledging or even writing down what you believe your maybe your health challenges or emotional or whatever that is really challenging you or a blockage in your life. That's something that's really, really, really challenging you, right? So, if I had to do it with you, Lisa, is there something that you could think of?
So if I like think back to a few years ago, I mean, I was always raised on like you have to work hard for your money. So like work hard for your money. And so I would always have this image and thought in my mind that unless I if I wasn't working, I wasn't making money, and that was a bad thing. So it was like perfectionism. That was a huge thing for me.
Right. And if you had to reflect on who in your family has this perfectionism and working hard for your money, who would you say?
Yeah, that would have been my grandfather. Both, actually, both grandfathers, my father, everybody, actually, mom, dad. That was the way everyone was.
Did they develop any particular health issues or health challenges?
Yeah, my grandfather died of a heart attack, high blood pressure, cholesterol issues.
Right, so pressure, right? So even the word like blood pressure, so you can
Yeah.
see the blood pressure, right? Connected to the heart and the blood and how it moves and so on. And so we start to go, okay, where is this perfectionism? How's it putting pressure in your life? Like, how's it making you feel? What is it doing for you, to you?
Yeah, so when I was going through it, it would make me feel guilty for relaxing, you know, like
So then you have
guilty
to be
for sitting there
constantly
because I'm like,
tense,
oh,
right?
I should be doing something right now, you know.
Yeah. So it again, it's really interesting. And if we don't break it down and separate it, you're going to do it forever, right? But if you, because that's in you, it's just natural. It's how your nervous system is wired. So actually changing it is uncomfortable. It feels unnatural where you go, I am consciously, so now I'm going to consciously do things that are going to, not lead to blood pressure or heart attack or, so you start to go, now I'm going to train myself to celebrate relaxing, to celebrate having fun. And also what's really interesting is that where the heart is connected to your left side, the left side of your body, which is the feminine side. And most people that I connect with or speak to, have worked with, they're much more comfortable being masculine, which is do, plan, do, make things happen. And I know because I relate to that too. But to in the feminine is where you go, my practice in the feminine is not to have timelines, for instance. It's to go, wow. I remember I had this experience with a really good friend of mine. So we ended up traveling in Europe, and he lives in Paris, and so he got a ticket for us to go to another country. And because he speaks French and I don't, even though I understand quite a bit, I figured that, he should be buying the ticket. And so he bought the ticket, and because we were rushing and both of us were in this masculine rush, 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 get things happening, right? We ended up essentially going to the wrong place and missing our train. And I was pretty angry because this is not the first time this happened. And I was, in this, again, in this masculine place going, what are we going to do next? And how are we going to get to this place? And so on and so forth. And then I went, hold on a second, let go and come back to the. And I was stressed, like really, really stressed, because whenever we're too much in that masculine, we become tense, like you were saying, and super stressed out. And so I was like, no, I actually want this to be fun, and I need to be creative, and I need to get into this feminine flow. So I walked away from my friend for a minute, and then I came back and I said, all right, look, we're going to play a game. So we're going to start with this game, and the game is, how does today get better? As opposed to, how does today get worse? And, and so we sat there and went, well, today gets better if we get another train, for instance. And when the person who checks our tickets looks at them, and we explain the situation, we don't have to buy a new ticket that costs three times the amount because we bought ours on special. And and so that's what happened. This, the conductor got onto the train and went, heard our story and went, it's okay. So then we were like, when we get to, our destination and we step out, we don't have to wait for a taxi. There's like literally a taxi in front of us. Again, that's what happened. And then we were like, it will get, I went, well, let's get a little more creative. I really want this particular book in English. And we definitely went on in an English speaking country. Let's see if there's a bookshop. And so we find the bookshop and they have one copy of the exact book that I wanted. And so we're just really having this fun, and we both love good food. And so we're like, okay, let's find the most beautiful, amazing restaurant, that we can find. And we found this restaurant. At one point, my friend stood up and he's really tall, like, 6 foot something. And he's standing. And I'm like, why are you standing? He's like, to have more space to eat this amazing food. And even the food we didn't order, we ended up, somebody brought it to us, and we're like, we didn't order it. And they were like, oh, just have it. And it was amazing. And so there were so many things that happened that day. And it was all about flow. It was like, we don't know where we're going once we got to our destination. Let's just explore this place and keep playing this game. And so why I'm saying this is, when we get to a place of firstly understanding the body and going, this is the feminine part of me, this is the masculine part of me, my family members have a, front is more about me dealing with things besides the digestive issues. The back of the body is often ancestral, and somehow things being pushed away, but also things connected to the past. And so as you start looking at it and you start going, the way that I don't have to do the same things as my family members and ancestors is by understanding and doing something that is not necessarily the opposite for the sake of opposite, but what's healthy, right? So if you're always tense and it's natural to you, then every week it's almost like you've got to go, what is it that I'm going to do today, this week, that feeds this nurturing feminine? And what I encourage people to do, we can try this very quickly. So if you can place your hands on your heart and just breathe into that area and tell me how it feels.
I feel good right now, if I'm being honest with you. I feel great.
Is your heart like fully open, or is there any tension that you can explore there or discover?
My heart is actually completely open. Completely open.
Beautiful. So if we connected to an archetype in your heart that was your feminine self, what would she look like if you could describe her?
She would have, she'd be really like earthy looking and really just beautiful and long hair and delicate features, soft, a lot of softness to her.
And if she could talk to you, if she could speak to you, and if she could say to you, Lisa, I would love for you to make time for in the next week, what would she say? What would it be?
Baths, lots and lots of baths,
Right. And what
massage,
is, yeah.
relaxation, yeah, nature.
Right. And if she said to you, if she could help you to understand how to do that without feeling guilty, what would she say? That this is actually nurturing and moving you forward, what would she say? Or what would she show you?
You need this. Like, this is, you need this in order to thrive, essentially.
And do you feel like when you're having a bath or going for a walk in nature, maybe you could invite her?
And put my phone away. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
Could you?
I think that's a thing is like, even when I do the relaxing things, I'm still like not relaxing. You know, I'll be in the bath and I'm like, oh, I'll check my phone. It just went off, you know? So that's like defeating the purpose.
So what if you could put on the, are there any songs that she likes?
Yeah, she loves music.
So what if you could have your phone somewhere where you can't reach while you're in the bath, but you have a playlist that
Yeah.
you're listening to and relaxing, so it's not completely quiet, right? Because when we're meditating, for instance, or relaxing, what people don't realize is the feminine way is completely different to the masculine way. So the masculine way is either to lie there and focus on like nothingness or having all the thoughts move away and dissolving. And that's not the feminine way. That's hell for the feminine. So the
Yeah.
feminine energy, the masculine is the observer, whereas the feminine is like, I need color, I need movement, I need flow, I need music, I need, different kind of sensations and so if you were to have that playlist and be in the bath and also connecting to this feminine and communicating with her, you would probably, even though you're doing something, you'd probably find yourself really relaxing and maybe reflecting and feeling stuff and acknowledging and actually doing your inner work in a way that is pleasurable to you, but also starting to relax. I was doing this thing yesterday where, as we're getting older, I'm like, I want to feel youthful. And so I found this woman, I think she's from Ukraine actually, and she teaches you how to do, it's like kind of body exercises to make your face, look young and youthful. So I went, but a lot of the exercises are actually about massaging your body or your different parts of your body to relax them, because she says you age because you tense up. And
Yeah.
so
Yeah, look at these
I,
lines right here on my face, like the
right. So
frown
she actually talks about all of this, and how it's
Yeah.
connected to different parts of your body. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do these exercises. And one of the first ones that you do is you have this ball, like, and you massage your stomach. on. So you lie on the ball and you move around, and you're doing these triangles on this kind of ball, and it massages, all the parts of your reproductive system and your stomach and all the different organs, your liver and your, and so on. And so I was doing it yesterday, and I was like, oh, there's some, it's a little painful, it's a little uncomfortable. And then when I went to bed, before going to bed, which is probably why I didn't sleep the best, I was like, I'm gonna do, because there's three parts to the exercises. So there's ones for the body, and then there's ones kind of for the head and the hair and the neck. And so, and you're massaging all these parts. And so I was like, oh, I'll massage it, but it wake me up. So like I have to do it earlier. But then as I was falling asleep, I realized, and this comes back to this ancestry, that everybody in my family holds tension in the stomach because they use that area to stress and worry, right? It's constant, like, oh, tension, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the future? How do we, worrying about the future? And I realized that even though I do all sorts of kind of, different types of work, by connecting to different parts of me, the thing that I do the least of is the massaging, and definitely like not necessarily going really deep into massaging it with this ball, like while you're kind of rolling around on the ground. And so I went, oh my God, I'm actually feeling this releasing, of these muscles that hold this tension. And I was like, oh my God, this is what it looks like to really get deep in, because even when you get massages, they don't really spend much time on this area. This is what
No.
it looks like to get into like physical, stresses that happen
So
every single day.
I did
Every
a
single
lot of
day. Yeah.
It's so true, and especially for women, we hold a lot of our stress in our stomachs. And I did some work with a yoga ball and had to lie on it and breathe deep into it. And
Yeah.
let me tell you this, I bawled my eyes out. Like the emotional release that came from that one part of my stomach was absolutely insanely powerful. And so I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it and being really gentle with it. But the amount of trauma that was released from that one area, I can't even tell you how it was astronomical.
Yeah, because it's daily, because this is the area that digests food, but also digests all your experiences in
Yeah.
life, right? So it's like everything that happens and goes on through life, you're processing. And I don't know, do you have children, Lisa?
I don't know.
Yeah. So when you have children, you're constantly on this like, hey, whenever they call, like I have this thing with my son. Whenever he calls, I'm just going, take a breath in, because it could be really amazing news, or it could be mom, blah, 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 all this is happening to me in my life. And he and I have had to learn boundaries where I've gone, you cannot dump on me, because I'm happy to help you. I know lots of processes. I can help you with lots of things, but you cannot dump. You've got to, you can only text or call me with your challenges if you want help. But if you just want to vent and, no, then I'm not going to do that, because what it does is, because I'm still intertwined with you, I absorb it. And then you're like, oh, okay, sorry, mom. And I'm like, no. And I absorb it into my stomach.
Right.
And then I have to do a lot of work to release it. So we're going to prevent some of this, right? So that's another thing people can do, is they can start to create healthy boundaries. I had to do that with my mum as well, because we were intertwined. And at one point, I realized that I wanted to parent differently from her. And I had to actually have space for her for several months to figure out who I was as a mother, how I wanted to be with my children, what I wanted to do. And it was really, really powerful, to have that space. And I also said to her, because people in families get into experiences where they'll go, again, like my mum would play the victim for years, and she, and my son has some of this, where she would go, she'd call me to vent and tell me all her, problems and issues. And at one point, I said to her, "Mom, same as I said to my son, if you want to know how to get better, come to my courses. I'm happy, to help you, but I cannot listen to your problems. I'm not your therapist. I'm sorry. I'm your daughter. I actually want to be your daughter. So it's more that I can call you and discuss my challenges, but you can't tell me all yours, because when I call you, I'm asking for advice, I'm asking for help, I'm not dumping on you." And so I said to her, "My boundary is this. If you call me and you start the conversation with something negative, I'm actually going to hang up on you. I'm sorry if it's harsh, but I will say to you, Mom, please stop. And if you don't, I'm going to hang up on you. But if you call me and you're challenged and you say, 'Look, this is something positive that happened, but I'm challenged with this. Can you give me an insight? I'm really happy with this.'" And of course, at the beginning, she wasn't listening, and she kept doing the same thing. And so I hung up on her several times, and she was like, "That's not nice." And I was like, "But I told you that's what I was going to do, and you just weren't listening." So from then on, she started listening, and she actually changed. Like people say, people who are in their 50s or 60s don't change. She did. So people do. She really made an effort and went, "Ah, I'm going to call you and I'm going to start with something positive." And so, it was amazing. That was more than 10 years ago. So we need to create boundaries with our family, and we need to figure out what we're taking on. And then that little exercise with the archetype, and it was very easy to do with you, but you might connect and tune in and sense that your feminine part is not healthy, is stuck, has not been nurtured, and is might even be turning away from you, and you need to create a relationship with this part, especially if you have a lot of stress, so that you can be guided without this guilt, without this fear that I'm not gonna achieve everything. And obviously there's so many explorations, but step one is get a journal, write down your biggest challenge, and then start seeing how's this connected to your family. And you can also start saying to yourself, "Separate it. This is not mine. This, ask yourself, where did this come from? Who in my family has this? This is not, I can let this go." It's a lot easier to let go of things that are not yours. And again, there's so, if we had more time, there's so many processes that you can do. But if I can just say, like, one little one, you can visualize this. So I often work with visualizations, and I ask people to visualize this purple fire in front of them. And this is purple is a color of transformation, and this fire is about transforming stagnant energy. And so you can visualize this fire, and then you can connect to your body, and you can go, "I'm carrying a lot of, let's say, stress in my stomach." And you can go, "What is this stress about? Oh, it's connected to me worrying about my child, let's say." And then you energetically scoop it up, and you go, "What color is it? Oh, might be gray or brown. All right, I'm going to scoop this energy, and I'm going to release it and let it go and place it into this purple fire." And you need to do it physically. It's not just a mental visualization. And you do that, I don't know, for a few minutes every day, and then you blow, like literally blow this fire out, as in letting it go and dissolving it. And even doing something like that for a couple of minutes, in separating, whether it's something that's just happening and you're digesting it, in your life and you're letting go of what is unnecessary. That's why we hold so much tension. This is I'm digesting it. I am acknowledging what I'm feeling today, or oh, this is something that my mum always does. My mum, let's say, worries all the time. I don't want to be like that. So I'm gonna work with this and let this go. And then rubbing your hands together and literally, because you need, when you let something go, you need to kind of put something nourishing back into your body. So rubbing your hands together and let's say visualizing yellow is a great color for the digestive system, for instance. So I'd visualize this yellow light that I would play with, and then I'd go, I'm going to put calmness and peace into my stomach instead of worry. And you literally breathe it in and pull it in as you place your hands on your stomach, and you take a moment and you repeat the word peace to yourself, or calm, as you breathe in through your nose and then slowly out through your mouth with slightly pursed lips. And this also relaxes your nervous system. And so you start to rewire yourself, you start to change these ancestral imbued patterns slowly, but you need to do this constantly and daily into something new.
So, Inna, why don't you tell the audience where they can find out more information about this work and about the work that you do?
So you can go to my website, innasegal.com, so InnaSegal.com, and I really encourage you to go to the section of my master classes, because I actually have so many different ones. I have one on how to tune into your body. I have ones on awakening the healer within yourself. I have ones on ancestry and going deeper and understanding more about how to recognize and work with it. And all of this is free. So that's free tools for you to look at it and explore and go on a journey towards yourself. And so I really, really encourage people to go, I can learn. Let me be teachable. Let me, the first step is just go to the website and, scroll and make a few hours of time for yourself, and then grab a journal and start connecting the pieces of your own storyline, because I ask a lot of questions and I get you to explore. And then if you're ready, let's go deeper. Let's delve into intricacies of how we can transform our lives and work together.
Thank you so much. Do you have any last minute thoughts on today's topic?
I feel like when we can take responsibility for our own lives, and when we can also recognize that what we do carry and what we can start to let go of, our lives transform and so much opens up for us, so many new possibilities of living our lives, I'm going to say, on our own terms, in our own way, as opposed to being programmed by everybody in your family. You actually start to become your own person. And last thing I want to say about this topic is that deep and profound inner child work from all the stages of development, and maybe we can talk about this at some point in an actual episode as well, just transforms so much to do with how you grew up, with your ancestry, and with our relationships, and so many issues that we carry because we absorb from our family.
Thank you so much for being here and for talking about our ancestry and how it affects us in everyday life. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. Do not forget to like and subscribe, and we will have all of Inna's links in the show notes for you to have easy access to. And remember, if it's happening in your family, it doesn't mean that it's going to need to happen to you too. It's time you take control of your life. It's worth it. And just so you guys know, I'm definitely going to have a bath. Take care, everyone.